This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, November 17th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, legal issues in the news with Amy Guida. This week, she looks into a new online feature that raises more questions about privacy. We'll also get a look at our forecast for the week ahead from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. Congressman Danny Davis says he wants to replace Barack Obama as Illinois' junior senator. The Democrats' declaration came at a Chicago press conference yesterday, the same day that Obama stepped down from the Senate, leaving 2 years left in his term. The group Westside Black elected officials endorsed Davis at the event. The organization is made up of Illinois state senators, state representatives, Chicago aldermen, and Cook County commissioners. President-elect Obama's Senate replacement will be chosen by Governor Rob Blagojevich, who says he'll make the decision by the end of the year. Davis spokeswoman Tulio Romero says representatives from Blagojevich's office attended the event, but calls to Blagojevich representatives were not immediately returned. Illinois state government is having a hard time paying its bills. The financial difficulty has several lawmakers renewing their call for a tax hike. Sean Crawford has more.
The state's backlog of unpaid bills is nearing $4 billion and projected to go higher this fiscal year. That means those who do business with the state are being asked to wait even longer for payment. Some have even decided to sever ties with Illinois government. Democratic Senator Donnie Trotter of Chicago says the problem must be addressed.
I mean, it's an understatement saying that we are in a financial crisis. I mean, the world is. So what is needed, one, is we need to stimulate the economy. We need to look at new revenue sources better sooner than later.
Trotter says an infrastructure program would create jobs and stimulate the economy. As for new revenue, he and some of his colleagues are openly talking about tax increases and other ways to bring in more money. Any plan to raise taxes has the governor as an obstacle. Governor Rod Blagojevich has pledged to reject those efforts. I'm Sean Crawford.
Duke Bennett will likely remain the mayor of Terre Haute, Indiana for over a month, despite a court ruling that vacated the office. He plans to appeal last week's decision by appellate judges that invalidated the results of the 2007 mayoral election between Bennett and former Terre Haute Mayor Kevin Burke. Once the appeal is filed, Indiana's Supreme Court has 30 days to decide whether to accept the case and then could take even longer to rule on it. The appellate court has favored a special election between the two candidates, but Terre Haute City Attorney Choa Lee says he's not favoring one because of the cost to taxpayers. If the state's high court does uphold the lower court ruling, Lee speculates on what would have to happen in order to get the office of mayor filled.
First, the city controller. If the city controller cannot take that position, then it'll be up to the vote of the city council to elect one of themselves as the mayor pro tem until the special election can occur. But, it's our hope that we don't ever have to go down that road because it's basically the most expensive way to resolve this issue to the taxpayers.
Lee notes the last municipal primary and general election cost more than $580,000. Last Thursday, the appellate court determined that the 2007 results didn't stand under the Hatch Act because Bennett had operated the Hamilton Center, which relies on federal funds in order to operate. The court also said Burke couldn't take office automatically because voters were unaware that Bennett wasn't eligible to run. Both men said they'd be willing to run in a special election. In the meantime, Lee says it's business as usual at Terre Haute City Hall until the courts rule otherwise. Chinese students are enrolling in U.S. universities, including Purdue University, in record numbers. Purdue is enrolling 290 Chinese students, up from 127 last year. Associate Dean of International Programs Mike Brzezinski says the school likes the cultural and educational benefits the international students bring. According to the Institute of International Education figures being released today, enrollment of Chinese students nationwide grew by 8% in the fall of 2006 and by 20% last year. The numbers of international students had dropped after the September 2001 terrorist attacks, but the latest report finds 7% more foreign students at U.S. universities than a year ago, at an all-time high of 624,000. A Champaign middle school believes it can offer more than education and advice to families of its students. Edison Middle School is opening its Comet Community Center this evening. Volunteers and the school's community outreach coordinator will man the center each evening, helping parents get in touch with services they may need beyond education. Services like computer access, food banks, or helping managing money. Principal Carmela Levy says those services are available elsewhere, but where to find them is not always apparent to parents.
Since we have direct access to our students and direct access to our parents, we feel that we can do a much better job of addressing their issues directly and making sure that there aren't any gaps in learning for our students and that their families are not experiencing as much stress as they otherwise would be due to not having access or knowing where services are located or knowing how to access services.
Levy hopes the in-school community center will indirectly get more parents involved in their kids' education as they receive those services. The Comet Community Center will also hold regular workshops for parents on topics ranging from dealing with difficult teens to stretching the family budget. If you're normally wary of lawyers, then a downturn in the economy ought to make you more so. Robert Wildebor explains.
When the economy gets tough, lawyers, like everyone else, have to hustle to get work.
Some lawyers take a case and they find themselves way over their heads.
Jim Grogan is with the regulatory commission that disciplines lawyers in Illinois. He says complaints jumped nearly 50% in the wake of the recession in the early 1980s. He thinks it's because lawyers needed more work, so they started taking on jobs that they really weren't qualified for. For example, a real estate attorney takes on an immigration case, and soon an unhappy client is on a plane back to their native land. If you're an attorney, listen up. Grogan's got some advice for you.
As difficult as it may seem, if when times were good you wouldn't take a client, don't take that same client when times are bad.
And Grogan says if you're a client, make sure your attorney has experience that's relevant to your case. I'm Robert Wildebor.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. You may have heard about a new way to track the spread of flu across the United States. It's a service called Google Flu Trends, and commentator Amy Guida sees it as something that could indicate more than the pervasiveness of the flu. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
I have a relative who's had a number of unusual ailments. When I hear of a new-to-me diagnosis, I turn to Google and search for Disease X to find out more about it. That's one reason I find Google's new Flu Trends service so interesting. It tracks searches for combinations of words like flu and symptoms and offers a map that purports to track the flu's progression across the United States. The more searches in a particular state, they say, the more that means that the flu has struck there. But there are probably a lot of people in the U.S. like me who've searched for Disease X for a relative in Maine, or who've searched for flu symptoms because a daughter away at college in California isn't feeling quite right. Or they're curious. Or maybe they find out, based on the symptoms list, that they don't have the flu. Google argues that those flukes really don't make much difference in the aggregate. People at Google say that they recognize that they're not getting precise, certifiable diagnoses. Instead, they say that they're simply getting a general sense of the spread of the flu through the sheer volume of searches, and that so far the information generally matches up with what's happening in doctors' offices. The evidence of the spread of illness based on those searches, then, is good enough, close enough to be at least somewhat relevant. And here's how it's all related to law. Just as we might find searches for flu symptoms enough support for what's going on in a particular household, Internet searches are being used as evidence offered in a courtroom that somebody did something wrong. Now, you can be sure that defense attorneys have argued that just because someone has done an Internet search for something doesn't mean that that person ever actually committed a crime. I'm reminded of a search I've done for hidden camera, not because I have plans to install one, but because I teach a related course and want to keep up on the latest privacy-invading technology. Heaven help me, if I'm ever suspected of placing an illicit hidden camera myself, my search could become part of the evidence, one stone placed on the guilt side of the scale. Whether that's fair or not, whether a jury should hear such evidence or not, is a call that judges make. Many of the reported cases involve child pornography, and a defendant's Google search is just a small part of what in many cases seems to be overwhelming evidence of guilt. After all, there's that whole beyond a reasonable doubt standard in criminal cases, and it's highly likely that a couple of Google searches simply won't suffice, even if a judge allows them into evidence. Nonetheless, it makes me just a little bit uncomfortable to read that a man in New York was convicted of murder in 2007 because, among other evidence, someone searched for the phrase "murder with note with letter left behind" on his home computer. Or that a jury could hear evidence that a woman accused of killing her own husband but making it look like another had done it had searched for that other person's name on the internet. But such is the wave of the future, it seems. If we as a society embrace Google's flu trends as a flu tracking method, as imperfect as that may be, I'd predict that more prosecutors will be filing requests for Google searches, that more judges will come to accept them as evidence that's more probative than prejudicial, and that more people will be brought down based in part on searches they did on the internet. To me, then, the flu map on Google indicates a bit more than simply the spread of flu across the United States. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. It'll be cloudy and breezy across the two-state area today with lake-effect snow hitting in northwest Indiana, parts of northwest Indiana. For today, a few scattered flurries around that area, as well as in northern Illinois. North-central and northeast Indiana will see snow showers and squalls. In central Illinois, just mostly cloudy, no precipitation. Central Indiana will see some snow showers and flurries, and partly sunny in the south. Highs today ranging from 35 in the north to 48 in the far south, 40 degrees with clouds and breezy conditions in Champaign-Urbana. For tonight, in northern Indiana, cloudy with snow showers and squalls. In northern Illinois and central Indiana, cloudy with scattered flurries. And in central Illinois and the south, partly cloudy, lows from only 15 in far northwest Illinois to 28 far south, 20 degrees and partly cloudy skies in Champaign-Urbana. For tomorrow, some snow showers and squalls lingering in northern Indiana. In northern Illinois and central Indiana, a few scattered flurries early, then mostly cloudy, and partly to mostly sunny in central Illinois and the south. The highs tomorrow from 32 in northeast Indiana to 43 in far southern Illinois. 36 under sunshine in Champaign-Urbana for Tuesday. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, the low 23. Intervals of clouds and sun and a high of 48 for Wednesday. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, November 17th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.